Hi, Judge John Hodgman listeners. This is Biz Ellis.
And I'm Teresa Thorne.
And we are normally the hosts of a podcast called One Bad Mothers, a comedy podcast about parenting, not a parenting podcast. So you may be wondering, why are you here on my podcast download of my favorite show, Judge John Hodgman?
Well, this week is Max Fun's Great Switcheroo, so all the hosts of Max Fun podcasts are swapping shows this week.
It's crazy! So we are taking over the Judge John Hodgman show. I will be Judge Biz Ellis, and Teresa Thorne will be...
Bailiff Teresa Thorne.
Big leap. And this is happening everywhere. So you can find, for example, Judge John Hodgman over at Risk, or you can find...
Bailiff Jesse Thorne at My Brother and Me, and Stop Podcasting Yourself.
Again, it's crazy. You'll hear more about this at the end of this episode. In the meantime, we hope you will sit back and enjoy us raining down some judgment.
Welcome to the Judge John Hodgman podcast. This week, it may or may not take a village. Matt brings the case against his wife, Janine. They've recently had a new baby, and Matt thinks it's time to make friends with other parents of older children in a kind of parenting mentor situation. Janine thinks they're fine with the friends they've got. Who's right? Who's wrong? Only one woman can decide. Please rise as Judge Biz Ellis enters the courtroom and issues the obscure cultural reference. How are you feeling, Biz?
You know what, Teresa? I was thinking a lot about this. And when I was young, I never needed anyone, right? Making love was just for fun. You know, but those days are gone, right? I'm living alone back then. I think of all my friends I've known. When I dial the telephone, nobody's home. All by myself. And this case makes me feel very much like that because it makes me think back to those times in my life before I had kids and my pre-expectations of what life was going to be like after I had my kids in terms of relationships with family, friends, my partner, and just how wistful and how off I was on those very things. And it'll be interesting to have parents as fresh as our Matt and Janine are today in terms of that raw sense of pre-parental expectations being met with post-baby life. Matt and Janine, we want to thank you for joining us. Bailiff Teresa, please swear them in.
Matt and Janine, please rise and raise your right hands. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God or whatever?
I do.
Do you swear to abide by Judge Biz Ellis's ruling, despite the fact that she hasn't slept a whole night's worth of sleep for the last almost 2 years?
I do.
Thank you. Judge Ellis, you may proceed.
Thank you. Matt and Janine, I want to thank you for joining us. Before we get started, can either of you tell me the original writer and singer of the obscure cultural reference that I made upon entering the show for an immediate summary judgment in your favor? Matt?
Nora Jones?
Nope.
Though
she's relaxing. So she's very relaxing and wistful. Janine?
I recognize it as a song, but I can't tell you who.
Fair enough, guys. Fair enough. Thank God I only still listen to music from the 1970s. The original singer was Eric Carmen, though many new people in the world might only attribute it to Celine Dion. Yeah, but that's not where I was going for. The more wistful, lonely, sorrowful version is definitely Eric Carmen. And now that we've gotten all through that, I am very excited to be serving as judge today because normally I don't get to be too judgy. And so it is with great excitement that I say, Bailiff Teresa, I am ready to lay down some justice.
Let's do it.
Matt, you bring this case before the court. Please tell us your side of the story.
All right. This case was actually submitted before we had kids. to or a kid, I would like to make the effort to just make friends with one couple that have kids that live somewhat close to us that we can go to for advice and to complain and just kind of bounce ideas and opinions, and that would speak into our relationship with our daughter and help us out in that.
Okay, question. Do you guys have parents of your own?
Yes.
Okay. Are they the kind of parents that you can call for advice about kids, or has the time just gone so long that everything was perfect when they had you guys? Because that's what my mom always said. You guys were perfect.
I'd say totally Janine unhelpful. Definitely has parents that she calls and respects for advice. My parents are just a little bit different. So I love my family, but it is the first grandchild, and they're really excited to help out with buying stuff, but advice-wise, they're not quite there.
Not quite there. So you're hoping, so it's less that you guys necessarily are able to reach out to relatives on an easy basis for you. You in particular have a need to like maybe have somebody close by, same generation, same situation that you guys are going into to get advice.
Yeah, that's my ideal.
Are you the first of your friends to have kids?
Yes. There's one couple that has had a daughter within the past year, but we never, ever see them.
Ah!
Yes, they are actually on my list of couples to pursue.
Is it too early to find the crux?
I know. Yeah. can I? All right.
How old are you guys?
Oh yeah.
If I may, judge.
Good question. You may, Teresa Bailiff.
I'm
34,
and I'm 28.
Okay. All right.
Janine, as the older woman,
wiser and more experienced.
The more experienced older woman, or as I like to call myself, who's in that position, old mom. Why don't you tell us your side of the case? Because what Matt's saying, on some level, who doesn't want helpful advice from people with brand new children whose children are nothing like yours? Tell us a little bit about your side of the case.
My side of the case is that we are already pretty busy, even before having our daughter. And so I don't feel like I have time to be making new friends. I also feel like...
Oh, wait, can I ask you? I'm sorry, real quick. You said busy. Are you guys both working full-time?
We're both working full-time. Yeah, I just started back to work about 2 weeks ago. So...
How old is the baby?
12 weeks.
12 weeks, and you just started back. Our maternity system should be on trial is what's happening.
Awful.
Anyway, okay. Go ahead. Sorry, continue with your side of the case.
I also feel like because I do have a good relationship with my parents where I respect their advice. I call them a lot for that. And my sister and sister-in-law just had their first kid. So I feel like I'm getting a lot of that advice and commiserating with them. So I don't feel like I need to make friends on top of that to find help.
Okay. Janine, a question for you. Now that you guys have had kids, I mean, and you guys are really still in the new of it. I mean, 12 weeks is nothing. I mean, like it feels like an eternity.
It does.
But it is. I mean, like, so empathetically, I can say, I know how tired you are. I know how drained you are. I know how emotionally depleted you are, both of you having to work. And it is a really weird time. And I know that Bailiff Teresa and I have often shared with each other how everybody's around sort of that initial moment the baby is born. And then it's like, good luck. And people are gone. So I'm wondering, you say that you have a strong friendship base, and part of your evidence that you submitted to the show was a very impressive long list of friends that you guys stay socially committed to. So I guess I have two questions for you. One, how has it and how has that changed now that you've had a baby, both for y'all's perspective as a couple? Have you been super active after having the baby with your friends? And well, let's answer that question first. Have you guys, as the new parents, do you feel like you've been able to maintain your duties with your friends in terms of maintaining those relationships?
I think so. Matt and I lead a small group through our church, and so we kind of have to once a week maintain some of those relationships. But on top of that, like on weekends, we'll go over to people's houses for dinner, or this past weekend we went to a cider festival with a group of friends. So I think we've done pretty well at that, and they've been really wonderful to offer to babysit for us. I have one friend that's watching her right now, and then last week we had a couple friends babysit while we went out and had a date night. So I feel like it's kind of been, we've been committed to make things work and hang out with people, and they've also been really wonderful to step in and help us.
Wow, I don't think I left my house for the first year. So
we should have belonged to churches.
We should have belonged to churches. We absolutely should have. Don't think I don't go there sometimes in my mind for the like because there is definitely a sense of community. I can remember my mother even saying to me once with my first kid, I don't even count her anymore, with my first child, and how isolated I felt. You know, she's like, I know you're not particularly religious, but you can always go to church to, you know, hang out. There are groups. There are support groups. There are, you know, people who want to hang out with you, despite your potty sailor mouth. all right. So, Matt, I just want to come back to you. I'm listening to Janine. Do you agree that you guys have been able to maintain this commitment with your friends over these last 12 weeks?
I absolutely agree. So everything that she said is true. We've gone to birthday parties. We've taken her out to restaurants. We've traveled with her, and we've been trying on our part to definitely stay committed to the friendships that we have.
Can I ask you guys a possibly non-funny question? And that is, you're 12 weeks in. You guys have been remarkably committed to your friends, which I just have to tell you, it really is impressive. All sarcasm and joking aside, it's because it's really hard right after you have a kid to balance that out. Have you guys had any moments where you feel like it's too much, that you feel like maybe it's working now, but you're not sure you can commit? The best example I can give is my husband and I, long before children, we would have this huge commitment. It was like in our vows to do this amazing Halloween display every year, right? And we do it, and it's really fun, and we scare the neighborhood kids. And then we had Katie Bell, and the first year was okay. We had a sitter, and the second year she's like two, and like, okay, we have the sitter, but we have to be a little more quiet. Then by three, wait, she wants to go trick-or-treating, and that's when we're supposed to be doing the trick-or-treating at our house. And now she's six and our son is almost two. And I said to Stefan, I don't know if I can do this anymore, even though it's really important to me. Have you had any moments where you really wanted to pull back and just kind of get insular?
I think the hardest thing for us right now is our relationship. And we've had some good things over the past week where we've been able to sit down and just have time with each other. But I do feel like the thing that's suffering the most right now is just my relationship with Janine. Because when we have a moment, we usually serve the other person by taking the kid.
Right.
Rather than spending time with each other. We are trying to not lead the group, the small group that Janine mentioned, on the next kind of iteration. I think they call it quarters. But we told that to somebody who's kind of runs all of the groups, and we told that to him on Sunday, and he's like, yeah, I think you guys can do it. And we're like, okay. So we're trying to we're trying to kind of pare down some of those commitments because I don't feel like I'm doing everything well. And so I don't want to just add things if I can't do them well.
Right. And that includes possibly going out and making even more friends.
Yes.
No. I know the yeah. but. We'll come back to the but.
Yeah.
Janine, sure. How do you feel about all this right now?
Well, definitely for the first 4 weeks of having her, I felt like anything, I mean, just getting out of bed was difficult.
Right.
And taking care of her. But as time went on, it got a little easier every time I tried to take her out and like get groceries. It got a little easier. The hardest thing right now for me is working and trying to take care of her. I think I tell Matt every day I can't live like this.
So I laugh because I have literally stood in my bathroom by myself saying to myself, how on earth did it get like this? Right? Like that's, yes. You know, wait, same as it ever was. This is not my beautiful house. This is not my beautiful life, you know? Like, so go ahead.
That's been the hardest. Like, I feel like if it was just me taking care of her and connecting with friends, and I didn't have the working 40 hours on top of that, I could make it work. But it's doing the work on top of that, that it's like something has to change. I can't keep doing it this pace.
Matt, at the beginning of this, when you were stating your case, you were talking about what you were looking for in an ideal parent friend. So I was wondering what your expectations are of that friendship and how you feel you could go about finding that perfect parent couple friend.
So ideally, I'd like someone that is kind of in the sweet spot of a little bit ahead of us. So someone that has a kid that's in between 1 and 5, I guess. I don't know. has gone through the stuff that we're going through now and can lend an ear to listen, can ask questions on things that we haven't even thought of. I'd like them to live in Kansas City, which is where we're located, so that we can actually go and see them together as a family or as a couple. So people that we can actually hang out with.
I mean, have you not received all the unsolicited advice that just comes right away with childbirth?
I honestly don't think we have.
Janine, Janine.
There's been a few things of like, oh, you should unswaddle her. She wants her arms free when she sleeps. I'm like, that's not.
Yeah.
True.
So I mean, I think my point is, I think the advice and the insight that you might get from this perfect friend's that whose child is just like your child and sees parenting just like you see parenting, you know, have you gotten anything even close to that yet from people?
Not much. We've gotten a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Much.
And a lot of the advice that we've gotten is from Janine's sister and sister-in-law.
But that's not enough.
That I feel like right now they're kind of in the same situation we are and trying to figure things out. And a lot of the times that they talk to Janine, it makes her compare our kid to their kid and makes her actually more anxious about our kid because, for instance, her sister's kid is just really quiet and kind of chill. And ours is definitely not like that.
Yeah. This is my most painful discovery as a parent, is that children are nothing alike.
Yes.
And it's so unfortunate. It can happen in your own family, which is even more unsettling. You know, this is a question for both of you guys. We'll start with Janine this time. Before we had kids, and even after we had kids, I'm not sure Stefan and I even liked parents at all. Do you, how do you guys feel about other people with kids in general outside of your own circle of friends? Janine, I mean, when you hear mom friends or parent friends, what how does that make you feel?
I think that's one of the hardest things is because most of the people that we know, they just seem so, they seem so happy about like being a mom and and being a wife. And I'm like, I don't feel like they would understand me being frustrated or cursing my situation or.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like I might be judged.
Well,
so it seems actually really difficult to be friends with other mothers.
Right. We're horrible. Matt, how about you? Mom friends. Well, not for you. Dad. Well, dad friends are cool. They go out and leave the moms at home and have beers. No, I'm just kidding. That's not at all accurate. How parent friends? Did you always like them even before wanting them?
I've never really had parent friends, and so I don't know what that looks like to have a really good friend that's also a dad.
Matt, what is the problem with letting parent friends happen organically? I mean, you guys are just 12 weeks into this. I know that most of the ones that I wound up actually liking in terms of our circle of friends with kids. And I remember how surprised I was when I actually liked some and I liked their kids. It was a very organic process. You seem very meticulous about going about, I mean, I think you made a list. I think you were observing people, really narrowing it down in sort of a database format. What's the problem with letting it just happen organically?
So I think there is benefits to allowing it to happen organically, but I think even with more opportunities, you still need to take that effort and someone needs to do the first step. So the only organic process that I see without actually making that effort of pursuing friendship with a couple is if we, you know, our friends are having kids and some of them are pregnant now and they kind of have kids and then our group has kids in it, but I still feel like then we are the line leaders. We're the people that they'll go to ask questions of or to hang out with. And that's okay, but I'm really looking for someone that's a little bit ahead of us.
You become the very thing that you are looking for, Matt.
Yes. And I do think it can happen organically with some of the couple on the list because we do see them in passing. It's not like we're going up to random strangers and saying, hey, I want to be your friend. It's
nothing wrong with that. It's awkward, but sometimes it works.
So these people aren't just like randos that I threw darts at. It's people that we
be a bad way to start off your friendship, Matt.
Yes, I think so.
Janine, why don't you want to make new friends?
Well, I think part of it is that Matt is an extreme extrovert, so he wants to be friends with everybody he meets.
He's also in his 20s, ha-cha-cha. Yes. He's young, he's vivacious.
He has the energy for that.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm more introverted, and I'm older and set in my ways.
Right, you're just an old lady who wants to sit around and do puzzles. I feel like I'm talking to myself.
If it just happened organically and I didn't really have to work at it that much, fine, I would take new friends. But I feel like I have really great friends now that I'm struggling to keep in touch with that I would rather invest my energy in.
Are they meeting your needs as a new mom?
I think that they will.
Okay.
As they have kids. I mean, I think eventually it will be where we can share stories about our kids and what we've tried and what works and what hasn't worked.
Well, but I just want to say, I really do see Matt's side of the story in terms of the parent friends. I can remember when we organically made some friends. We were the first to have kids in our circle of friends. And we had some really supportive friends, and then we had some who just didn't know any better, you know, and we had the whole, no one invited you to that party because you never go out anyway. So we just assumed, what was the point of putting you on the invitation? It's nothing personal. But then we made some friends in the park with kids the same age, made these friends sort of organically. And I can remember very clearly going to their house with all of our kids. So we had the one-year-old, they all had one-year-olds. And there was something really beautiful about that chaos where your kid's wandering off. Because once they start walking, they just wander off. And it's really hard to have a conversation with another adult because your kids are literally going in opposite directions. And there was this great Zen moment of like, no one cared. No one gave you the stink face. No one made you feel weird that you were like mid-sentence and then walking at the same time and that you were like grabbing their child and their child, they were grabbing your, like there was nothing more relaxing about being in that moment. So I totally get what Matt is looking for. So I guess what's the harm in starting to pursue that and lay that out now, Janine?
I think if he could maybe help create space for that in my life then and figure out what would happen, I would have to give up to make that happen.
Well, show us the time, Matt.
That's right. Well,
where is the time?
So, but why can't Matt just go off and do this on his own? Matt, why can't you go off and do this on your own? Oh, don't think you're getting off easy with this, Janine, because I have a follow-up for you. But Matt, why can't you go out and do this on your own?
So...
I mean, besides loving your wife.
Let's give the park as kind of an example. So if I had Emberly, even at age one, and I took her out to the park, and there are a group of moms that were there that also had their kids, I would feel kind of awkward to just approach a group of moms with their kids and be like, hey,
it is weird,
do you
want
to be friends with me, the dad?
Yeah.
And, you know, and so I do think that there's still a part of our society that... says men around kids is not as comfortable or is not as okay.
Yeah, but aren't there any dads hanging out at the park with you at the same time?
Again, I don't know dads that I hang out with.
Are you really going to a park?
We do have a park that we walk.
It's usually
by.
Empty.
Yeah, I know. No one goes empty. To parks.
I do.
I know. Yes.
So I like that idea of going to a park and starting up a conversation and whatnot. I do think the conversation would be a lot easier if Janine was also present to kind of be the liaison between the creepy dad. And it's no longer the creepy dad. It's the couple, the happy couple, maybe.
Right.
So.
Sure. The facade of the happy couple who's happy with their baby and everything's going great and it's all perfect. Let's don't start our new friendships off with lies, guys. If you want people who will respond the way you're hoping, you've got to be brutally honest with them. And if they look at you funny, walk away. Now, Janine, let's just say in some perfect world, there's a park where dads go and hang out with their children and it's not creepy or weird. No one's calling the police about the large group of men and their toddlers. And Matt started hanging out with dad friends and then dad and wife families. And it very easily falls in the pattern of, sure, just go. Just take them. Are you not concerned that you're losing even more opportunity for the two of you guys to be spending time together with Emberly? And this just becomes something he gets to go do that's fun while you're stuck not doing anything fun.
I hadn't thought of that.
You're welcome.
I think that's when I would probably do like some self-care activity. Like I would journal or I would read a book or some of those things that I go running that I can't do now.
Right. Bailiff Therese said this is highly, highly out of order, but it looks like you have something to say.
Yeah, I do. Thanks, Judge. Matt, you had submitted evidence showing sort of your list of potential couple parent friends. I hear your concern about sort of picking up friends at the park, and how that could go wrong. But what about like making dad friends with some of these dads? It wouldn't even have to be one dad. It could be you know, multiple different guys that you feel like you actually like. And like, there's the possibility of, you know, hey, I have Emberly on Saturday afternoon for 4 hours. Like, do you guys want to meet up at the park? And doing like, you know, a dad date,
a dad
with your
jog
kids.
Or something. Yeah,
I mean, I don't like that. To me, doesn't seem as awkward as going out and trying to talk to a group of moms. And could you do that?
Yes, I could do that. I do want Janine to also have mom friends. So I do think that what you suggest is a good way to kind of start. But part of me does want to include my wife in those things.
Well, what if Janine makes a dad friend?
I'd be okay with that.
That's cool, guys. It's all good. What? Yeah, but seriously, a lot of times, you know, the friends that we made started because me and his dad were hanging out talking about what kind of protein can I feed my kid? I'm all out of ideas outside of salami.
Well, it's also a lot easier for, I think Janine might have more motivation and interest in becoming friends with maybe a partner of somebody you become friends with after you already discover how much you like this person and they're kind of hanging around a lot.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah. Also, why does this have to happen right now? Have you heard of the internet? I mean, it offers some horrible unsolicited parenting advice, way more than you're going to get from new friends. And you can just hang up on that if you don't like what that is. But if it's your new friend, it gets really awkward. Or, you know, books. There are actually some very helpful books out there that kind of let you know that this is normal. I mean, all you're really looking for, to be honest, is somebody to tell you it's normal and you're doing okay.
Yep.
So that's got to be out there somewhere. I don't know. Possibly on another podcast or something. I don't know, maybe that's out there.
Somebody, I think there's somebody one other podcast.
That may tell you you're doing a good job.
You're doing great.
What's the...
It's okay that your kid is screaming.
Yeah, it's okay. Trust me. Mine never has stopped. But like what... Why right now, Matt? This is my last question that I have. Why right now? What's the urgency?
I think that there's the trap of falling into like, well, when she gets to this age, we'll have more time, or when she gets to this age, it'll be easier.
True.
And just falling into that cycle of, well, that's a good thing, and I think we should make time for it, but we'll make time for it when X happens. And I will say that I do, one of the reasons I do like your podcast quite a bit.
Thank you.
The difference between your podcast and like just, you know, online searches is that you come at it from a very relational angle where you're talking with another mom and you're sharing your stories and you're asking about questions that neither of you have thought about. And I think that there is something valuable to having that face-to-face conversation,
right,
as opposed to typing into Google, is it okay if my kid hasn't pooped for 6 days, you know?
Because those answers are the worst. And do not do an image search with anything you ever ask about your child.
Yeah. But you're right. I am looking for someone that is willing to just listen and hear us out and kind of nod along knowingly and then tell us that it's going to be okay.
All right. I've heard enough of this. I'm good.
I need somebody to be more of a jerk for a minute so I can say shut your pie hole.
Okay.
Because I've been waiting to say that. Like
to me? Do you want to say it to me?
I can't say it to you. You're the judge. That wouldn't be deferential enough.
I can totally be a jerk.
Matt, I have a question.
Oh, good.
I hope
it's insightful.
Yeah. Hey, Matt, when are you guys going to hang out with new friends? Shut your pie hole. You don't have time to hang out with new friends.
Oh, well, you guys have presented a very difficult case for me. I'm going to go into my chambers, a.k.a. I'm going to go hide in the bathroom and have some quiet time without my children bothering me to consider my decision. I'll be on my iPhone if you need me.
please rise as Judge Biz Ellis exits the courtroom. Janine.
Yes.
Are your current friends ever judgmental about stuff about you being a new mom?
Not that I'm aware of.
Not to your face.
No, I think they can tell that I'm like on the brink of tears every time they see me. So they're pretty sensitive, actually.
That's great. It's so important to have friends who are not going to judge you.
Yeah.
Do you think that it's possible that your fears about some of the potential new mom friends that you could have, your fears that they're going to judge you, is in some way kind of you being judgmental of them?
Yes. It's very possible. That's probably true.
Matt, so why is it that you and Janine seem to have such different perceptions about how much time is available for new activities like making new friends?
I actually don't think that we're perceiving time. It's mainly energy. So I think that there is actual time during the week that we could do these things. And I think Janine would even admit that. But I do know that my wife is an introvert. She has to really psych herself up to meet new people. So I know that the energy toll is more for her than it is for me.
Janine, how do you like your chances?
Well, I felt really good going into this, and now I'm a little less certain.
Okay, and Matt?
I think Janine's going to win.
We'll find out in just a minute when Judge Biz Ellis re-enters the courtroom.
Hello, I'm your Judge John Hodgman. The Judge John Hodgman podcast is brought to you every week by you, our members, of course. Thank you so much for your support of this podcast and all of your favorite podcasts at MaximumFun.org, and they are all your favorites. If you want to join the many member supporters of this podcast and this network, boy, oh boy, that would be fantastic. Just go to MaximumFun.org/join.
The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by Made In.
Oh, when you're trying to buy cookware, it's like there's so many questions, so many choices, so many pros and cons. But you should know, Made In has only pros. Pros like Tom Colicchio, Nancy Silverton, Brooke Williamson. That's right, I changed the meaning of pro from good things to professionals who use Made In, because they do. Professional chefs love Made In cookware because it's got so many pros.
Can I tell you something about Nancy Silverton, one of the Made In pros?
Yeah, I would love to hear it.
My friend used to work for Nancy Silverton, or one of her restaurants. And not only did she adore Nancy Silverton, but Nancy Silverton personally catered her wedding.
That's a real pro move, if you ask me.
Yeah, just like getting Made In cookware. These are people with taste, if you get my double meaning.
I do.
This isn't a Johnny-come-lately company. This evolved from a 100-year-old kitchen supply business. And they work with multi-generational crafters to put together every single piece. So includes carbon steel, stainless clad, plateware, glassware. I know, John, you love all that stuff that you have in your cabinet.
Yeah, I got the glassware. I got the plateware. And I definitely love that carbon steel. And I love their stainless steel. It's got exactly what demanding chefs and I dare say demanding judges look for when they're buying cookware.
And you don't have to find a kitchen supply store. They sell it online. It's delivered straight to your door with the quality that the pros use.
And can I just say, it's at a fraction of the price of other top brands. That's for real. This is really good stuff and it's really affordable. And yet, as affordable as it is, I'm going to tell you this. Judge John Hodgman listeners get 10% off full-priced items from Made In. For full details, visit madeincookware.com/JJHO10. That's madeincookware.com/JJHO10.
The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by the good folks over there at Squarespace.
Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time. All in one place, all on your terms. Time, Jesse.
Have you heard about this Squarespace Blueprint?
No. Tell me all about it.
Squarespace Blueprint lets you choose from a professional layout and build a website for your product or your service or your creations from the ground up. You can accept payments, including Apple Pay, among other things. It is all seamless and easy and comes out gorgeous, whether or not you went into it with big time skills. That's what Squarespace is all about, helping you express yourself and helping you share your work with the world.
Go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to www.squarespace.com/Hodgman to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Please rise as Judge Biz Ellis re-enters the courtroom.
Well, Matt and Janine, I want to thank you both for bringing this case to our attention. It is an important one that I do think many, many people are actually going through. I want to start off by talking a little bit about something that was addressed by both of you, a concern that you have about judgment and guilt, and how that can go both ways, especially in terms of talking to people with kids and without kids. It can come at you from every direction, even from your best friends with kids or parents or relatives. I think that there is absolutely no escaping, in particular in the first year of having kids, not questioning every single thing that you are doing as a parent and not feeling super guilty about the choices that you're making and not second guessing yourself. This is literally 90% of how you spend your day, I think, as a new parent. And it is next to impossible to see somebody. I can remember so clearly all the things I judged about other people with their kids before I had kids and when I had kids, and how absolutely wrong I have been about it in retrospect, only through years and years of having kids. And I would have kicked myself in the knee for even having said those very words of, now that I've had kids for a while. There's something horrible about hanging out with people who've had kids for a while because we can't keep our mouth shut. And we're pretty sure that whatever worked for our kid. I can remember a friend coming over with her daughter, who's a little bit younger than Katie Bell, trying to get a jacket on her kid. And the kid is just having a fit. The kid will not put that jacket on. And that mom is just cramming that kid in the jacket. It is like the worst thing I have ever seen in my life. And I thought, well, because we take such time with our darling Katie Bell to get her into her jacket, and we talk about it, and we work on it, and she has never once screamed about putting her jacket on, or putting sunscreen on, or whatever. We are doing an amazing job, and they are doing a horrible job. Or the opposite, their child is sleeping through the night, and suddenly, what are they doing that I'm not doing? This is somehow my fault, as opposed to my kid's not a screamer, but the next one is. Okay, so I want to say that be careful what you wish for in general, both of you, from both sides, in terms of seeking advice or even leaving your house, because it can be fraught with peril. That said, there are some really great people out there who have kids and some really great people out there without kids who can be incredibly supportive and helpful in terms of what you are going through. Because I think the end result is just looking for somebody to say that it's okay. And this is what worked for me. It may not work for you, but keep trying, and you're doing a good job. And the other big takeaway, I think, is when it comes to friendships, the most important one is the one between the two of you. And that is the one that is going to need the most work, and which is a horrible thing to have to say. No one wants to hear that it's going to be a lot of work, but it is. That is the friendship relationship that needs your focus and attention more than anything else, because it is going to kind of keep going like this for a while. You're both working. Your kid is going to sleep. Your kid is not going to sleep. 1 week, one of you is going to have more time. The next week, the other one may have more time. Or you might go for a really long stretch of time where one seems to be able to get to do whatever they want and the other person in the relationship is not. And that's difficult. And I totally appreciate the need for having a large community of friends, but I must emphasize that if you were to put that same effort into your own relationship, that is going to be the most rewarding. With that said, I am going to side, is that what he says? I am going to side with Janine on this one. Because, and here's why, is because I honestly feel that this first year is a really tough year. You guys are going above and beyond, in both of you, in terms of maintaining the friendships that you have. And the fact that you guys have ample opportunities right now to be amongst peers, especially with the church, which is a really great resource for you guys. It sounds like you have supportive friends. It sounds like you could go to these friends and very clearly say, this is what we need. Because I'm not sure it's advice per se that you're looking for as much as it is a sounding board. Because you guys know what's best for your daughter, whether you know it or not. You guys are amazing parents. And you guys know what's right and know when it's not working out and know when to shift it. And what you just need are people in your life for you to run this by and to say, that sounds good. And there's nothing wrong with asking your friends to say, that sounds good and you're doing a good job. Would you like me to say something else to you? Okay. All that said, if this was later on in life, I might have weighed in differently. And so I am ordering both of you to continue to look for opportunities to make new friends with kids. And when you see those opportunities, no matter how tired you are, to make the effort to try and pursue those. And that goes for both of you. So if somebody says, hey, I really liked those people and I know you're really tired, but could we do brunch? And remember, everything doesn't have to be at night. Brunches are great. My kids all woke up at 5 a.m. and so were these other friends that we met. So we were all having 7 a.m. play dates. And it was life changing because that's a really long stretch of time to be awake with your baby. So look for opportunities and promise each other that you will take them. And with that said, you guys really aren't doing a really good job. And I think you guys are killing it.
Thank you.
That's it.
That is helpful to hear.
Matt, how do you feel about the judge's decision?
I feel pretty good. I agree that I'd like to really pursue my wife and that takes priority over meeting new friends. And it is also helpful to just keep eyes open and look for those opportunities.
Janine, how about you?
I'm super excited. A little bit relieved. but also, I mean, I like what you said about like being open to making new friends. And I think that I'm hoping that will happen more organically as she goes to daycare or starts school and she makes friends, we make friends with the parents type of thing.
Yeah, there's 12 weeks, guys. It feels like an eternity, but you guys have a long game. It's a long game you guys are playing here.
Yeah.
And these opportunities are going to come up a lot as you go forward. I mean, trust me, the moment that kid starts rolling over and crawling, I mean, there's so many new things you get to do in terms of being around other people and events. I mean, it's weird to go to like a sing-along with your baby just laying there. So again, this is a really tough time, guys, and you guys are doing great.
Well, thank you both for being on the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
Thank you.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
Video games can make you laugh.
They can make you cry.
They can even make you sing.
We're the hosts of Triple Click.
It's a podcast about video games.
This is an exciting time for new games, from Diablo to Final Fantasy.
From Starfield to Street Fighter.
From Zelda to, oh, who are we kidding? We're just going to talk about Zelda.
Whether you play games or you just like hearing about them, we've got you covered.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's so weird to actually get to tell somebody what to do in terms of parenting.
I know.
Versus our usual MO, which is...
like, whatever you're doing is fine.
Whatever you're doing is fine.
No, it is true. It was really hard to use, like, another side of my brain. And a little scary.
I will say...
I was like, what are they doing wrong?
How did you feel about my judging? How did you feel about the ruling? Because
I
will say, I totally get Matt's side of the case.
Yeah.
I 100% get his desire to get some more people in to help mentally, as the mental game.
Yeah.
I just kind of felt like he had lost sight of the fact that they really have that. They have that already in terms of a supportive friend base that lots of people don't have, and it is great. You know, like, it's so good. And I also can see the benefits for Janine of getting out with some, I mean, you know, not all of us are awful. Some of us are really good.
Yeah.
It is kind of good.
Yeah.
I was sharing with you when Stefan was saying you should really go hang out with Teresa Thorne.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, and my child was like 3 and a half, well, 4. She was like 4. And I was just like, yeah, I know I should.
I know.
But I'm like really tired. And like, is this how I want to spend my like 2 hours?
I know. I don't even know if I'll like this person.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure she is great.
Yeah.
But
do I really need another great person in my life?
If I hadn't done it.
I know.
I know. See?
Let's not go there.
So again, I totally get Matt.
Make new friends, but keep the old.
One is silver, and the other gives horrible parenting advice.
Well, this was a lot of fun.
It was.
We want to thank Julia Smith for producing the show and helping us put this together.
Yep.
And we want to thank John and Jesse for giving us the opportunity to do this. Our show, if you guys haven't heard it, is One Bad Mother. You can find it by searching for One Bad Mother in iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find it at MaximumFun.org. And I think you probably have a pretty good idea of what you're getting with that.
More swears, though.
Yeah.
There are a lot of swears.
But more swearing.
Yeah, yeah.
Less judging, more swearing. this week, also, we just launched a really exciting project, our Parenting Merit Badges, which are hilarious and also beautifully designed. We have a cute little video on Kickstarter, so go over to Kickstarter, check out our Parenting Merit Badges video, and share them with a parent friend or a non-parent friend. And
you can follow us on Twitter at OneBadMothers or at Biz Ellis or at Teresa Thorne. You can find us on Facebook.
We're around.
It's
guys.
The internet, guys.
Yeah.
We're on it.
You guys are familiar.
Maybe you've heard of it.
This week also with the Great Switcheroo, Max Fun's Great Switcheroo, be sure to find John Hodgman. He is hosting Risk this week. Bailiff Jesse is hosting My Brother, My Brother and Me, as well as Stop Podcasting Yourself. So you can find those guys there. And One Bad Mother is being hosted this week by Dave Shumka and Graham Clark of Stop Podcasting Yourself. So thanks to Michelle Heflin for suggesting this week's case name. To suggest a name for a future case, you can like us on Facebook. The podcast regularly puts out a call for episode title suggestions on the Judge John Hodgman Facebook page. And if you have a case for the judge, submit it at www.MaximumFun.org/JJHO. I have been your guest bailiff, Teresa Thorne.
And I have been your guest judge, Biz Ellis.
Julia Smith produces the show. Mark McConville is the editor. Thanks for joining us for the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.